We're all familiar with the Apostle Paul, the great apostle. Many have referred to him as the greatest theologian of the first century. At any rate, Paul was a man used by God to lead others to Jesus Christ. He shared with them the saving knowledge of Jesus, and they put their trust and faith in Jesus. Paul also came in contact with a young man by the name of Timothy, and he referred to Timothy as his son in the faith. Timothy wasn't his biological son, but Paul was instrumental in Timothy putting his trust in Jesus as Savior and as Lord. That's what we mean by saving faith, putting your trust in Jesus, your complete trust in him. So I'm going to ask us to turn to the Word of God this morning as we find it in 2 Timothy, Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 1, beginning to read from verse number 1 to verse 7, and then switching over to chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. If you're looking at the Pew Bible, it's on page 1178. Now then, let us hear the word of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And then over to chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. But also, we read a little bit later in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, Paul says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. And another translation says, there is no one like Timothy. There is no one like Timothy. Paul held Timothy in very high regard. I hold Pastor Nate in very high regard. We praise God for Paul and his work with Timothy, his son in the faith. We understand that. I have a question for you this morning. The question is this. What was there about Timothy that justified such commendation? And then there's an answer. And the answer is Timothy's sincere faith, which first lived in his grandmother and then in his mother. Amazing words when we stop to think about it. And we discover this, that it's obvious. I'll go a little bit further. Now, the faith of these two mothers, that's what was so important here. It was so strong that Timothy, he identified with their faith, he identified with what he saw in their day-to-day life, and he embraced their faith. All important things. He looked back to his grandmother and to his mother, and he really identified with the faith that they gave. And also he identified with what he saw in their day-to-day life, the way in which they lived out their faith. And then finally, he embraced their faith. It's one thing to know about a faith, but it's another thing to embrace it. And I pray that all who are here today have embraced the faith of placing their trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that not one of us has not placed our faith in Jesus. It's obvious that their faith, that is the faith of Lois and Eunice, was convictional, communicable, and commendable. I wonder what makes it that way. It was convictional. Paul talks about Timothy's sincere faith. Now, what do you suppose that word is? The word sincere comes from the Latin word sincerus, actually two words put together, sincerus, and it means without wax. Sincere means without wax. So in order for us to understand that completely, we need to know the historical background. What is the background of this? Well, of course, there were artisans that were alive, active, and well during the first century, many centuries before and afterward. They were always sculpting something together. And then every now and then, when they made a statue or whatever it happened to be, and there was a fault in it, they would fill the fault with wax. And then they'd have some sort of a gloss that would go over it, and it would appear to be genuine, but it was not. It had a fault in it. And so when the artisans were doing this, people would buy, they'd go home, they'd put the statue out in the sun or near the fire, whatever, and the wax would melt. And all of a sudden they would discover that the statue was not really genuine. It was not really flawless. So the artisans then decided to do something about it. And when they made something that was flawless, they put the word sincerus at the bottom of their carving. Sincerus. This item is without wax. It was faultless. Now, this is what Paul was saying about Timothy. His sincere faith, it was absolutely faultless. It was a sincere faith. It was a positive faith. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone here in this congregation could say, our faith is absolutely sincere. We put all of our trust in Christ as Savior and as Lord. This is what Paul was thinking of Timothy's faith. He was sincere. His faith was sincere. There was no fault in it. And this was the direct result of his mother and grandmother. Now today, we all know this is Mother's Day. And we celebrate Mother's Day. A wise man once told me, whenever we talk about Mother's Day, we ought to say, don't forget the fathers as well. Well, of course, Father's Day is coming, and we'll have something to say about fathers in a few moments. But we're looking at this, and this sincere faith passed on from grandmother to mother, mother to son. What a praise God testimony that is. And that's the way it should be with you and with me. A father's faith, a mother's faith passed on to our children. It is the faith which was scripturally sound and savingly sure. Scripturally sound and savingly sure. In 2 Timothy, we read these words, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. Think about that. And now from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. From the cradle on, they learned the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. These two mothers knew the Scriptures, and they passed the knowledge on to Timothy. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we read, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is the Word of God that is so vital. Above every other form of literature, above every form of tradition that was going on, Lois and Eunice prized most highly the Holy Scriptures, prized most highly the Word of God. So mothers and fathers, there's a challenge for us involved in that today, that we make sure that our children grow up hearing the Word of God. And a word to mothers, cherish the Holy Scriptures. Reverence the Word of God. Let your children see you absorbing God's Word and referring to God's Word and treating God's Word with great respect and dignity. The faith of Timothy's mother and grandmother was a faith that was scripturally sound and savingly sure. They taught Timothy, which made him wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. From Acts 16:1, it appears that both Lois and Eunice were introduced to the saving knowledge of Christ through Paul when Paul was with them on a second missionary journey. Eunice is described as a woman who believed. The background of scriptural knowledge had wonderfully prepared her for the message of salvation, which in turn was passed on to her daughter and then to her grandson. They had a faith that was strong. Does your faith, is it strong? And does it give an impact? Does it provide an impact on other people when people look at you and see what your faith is all about? Now, there was a man back in the 19th century in the United Kingdom by the name of Lord Shaftesbury. He was responsible for some new legislation which changed their world at that time. I'll tell you about that legislation in a moment. But first of all, it's not the legislation that was vitally important for Lord Shaftesbury, but rather the words that he said following that. Well, let me tell you, first of all, what he did in terms of parliamentary rules. He did this. The mentally challenged, in those days called the insane, the mentally challenged were poorly treated. And he changed the legislation so that they were properly looked after. In addition to that, he abolished the apprenticeship of small children and women working in mines, and he also abolished the legislation which called for children to serve as chimney sweeps in the chimneys in England. Marvelous accomplishments when we think about it, this Lord Shaftesbury. Those were important things to the entire community. But listen to what he said. He said this, "Give me a generation of Christian mothers, and I will undertake to change the whole face of society in 12 months. I'm going to repeat it. Listen, give me a generation of Christian mothers, and I will undertake to change the whole face of society in 12 months. What a marvelous statement that is. Can you imagine a generation of Christian mothers and the impact that they would have? Mothers and grandmothers, you will never know what an impact your prayers are, what an impact your faith is, what an impact you make on your children for their entire life. That's why Mother's Day is so important for us to recognize and for us to remember that we have an impact on all those who are around us. This faith was convictional. It was also communicable, able to be transferred to other people. Paul tells Timothy, continue in the things which you have learned and have been convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Learned it from his mother and from his grandmother. There is no one who can communicate the deep things of life like a mother on a daily basis. Fathers, of course, have the responsibility of being the providing spiritual leadership in their home. And mothers are the ones, generally speaking, who have the greatest influence on their children. Yes, fathers have a great influence, but children also are influenced greatly by their mother. May all mothers and grandmothers in this congregation today make impressions on their children that are for better and not for worse. May all mothers and her grandmothers in this congregation do all that they can to let people know, let their children know, that they put their trust and their faith in God and in the Word of God, that they read the Word of God and it is meaningful to them. And when they are in difficulty, but not just when they are in difficulty, they go to the Word of God. Because it is in God's Word that we find all the answers that we need to live our life. I remember as a boy, I read a book, and it was a book of positive thinking in Christ. And that very favorite verse of mine, which you know, is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the importance of that verse is, I can do all things God calls me to do when Christ gives me the strength to do it. And I put my trust in him. I can remember reading that book when I was in high school. And I was having difficulty in high school. I hadn't learned how to study properly. I learned that many years later. Just as an aside, I wish that in school, I don't know if they do this or not, but I wish that in school the teachers would teach children how to study. Really important, how to pull out what's important so they can keep it in mind. I never had a teacher that did that, and I learned many years later. If we could only learn how to study, then we would know what was going to happen and we'd be prepared for whatever came. But that verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, was a personal verse that I used all through my life and still use it until this very day. Praise be to God. Such a faith is communicated by personal knowledge and experience. One can't communicate the scriptures, the Holy Word of God, if they do not know the Holy Word of God. The scripture is true, and if we don't know the truth, we cannot communicate it to other people. Therefore, we need to know the truth. That's why Bible study is so important. Bible study on our own and Bible study in groups. It's vitally important because we need to know the Word of God. We are told that in Scripture that the Lord told the Jewish families that they were to teach their children from infancy about the Word of God. Now, there's a part in Scripture in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 4, and let me read it to you. Hear these words. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Now think about that. This is the Lord giving directions to the people of Israel. Remember, God chose the people, the Jewish people, through Abraham to become his people. It was God's choice. He did it for his reasons. The people of Israel, Abraham and others, they did not earn this God pulling them out of pagan society. He did it. He pulled them out. The reasons were his. He went to Abraham. And then from Abraham, we have the entire nation of Israel. And God gave them the Ten Commandments. He gave them the rules to live by. No other nation at that time had those words. Our very judicial system are still today based on the Ten Commandments and the Word of God, although many of our legislators won't even admit it today. But that's the fact of the matter. And so God is saying, you are to teach your children, listen to that part, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. It means take every opportunity to point your children to the Word of God. Take every opportunity to read Scripture to them so that they will know what the truth is and they would be able to separate truth from fiction. It's a case of living your faith and teaching your children what you sincerely believe. Every now and then I've had parents talk to me and they've said, we are waiting for the children to make up their own mind as to whether they go to church or not, or whether they read the Bible or not. What a shame. They've already made up the minds of their children. Their children have seen in the example of their parents that the Word of God was not important. Church attendance was not important. This they learned just by example. But on the contrary, when we do what God told the Israeli mothers and fathers to do to the children, we talk to them day by day about the Word of God and about the Lord and the influence that the Lord has in our life. We are to lead our children in the ways of the Lord. Such faith is communicated by personal knowledge and experience, and such faith is communicated by practical demonstration. When children see the example by their parents, they know it's important. And a word to fathers, the scripture says, do not exasperate your children, but to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. When you're an exasperated father, it's difficult not to be exasperating to your children. But if we have the peace of the Lord reigning in our hearts, it makes a difference. This Christian mother, the mother and grandmother's faith is convictional, communicatable, and commendable. There are many students of Scripture who believe that on his second missionary journey, Paul actually stayed in the home of Lois, Eunice, and Eunice and Timothy. And it was Paul's privilege to be in that home, and he watched their example. He knew from firsthand experience that the grandmother and mother, put their trust in the Lord and in the Word of God, and the example was so powerful that Timothy became a believer. Has it ever occurred to you that the most precious treasure a man can possess, a man or woman, is to have faith? And has it occurred to you the most precious treasure they can pass on to their children is faith? Faith. There are lots of things that we may consider to be treasure, but the greatest treasure of all is faith in Jesus. The world may cry, "What is a man without money?" But a Christian cries, "What is a man without faith in the living God through Jesus Christ?" What is a person without faith in Jesus Christ? That's a question we all need to ask. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, over and over again, we see the words, by faith, by faith, by faith. Faith in the Lord. For Christians, faith in Jesus Christ. The faith of Lois and Eunice, passed on to Timothy, made an absolute lasting, life-changing impact and influence on him. Obviously, it also made a lasting influence on Paul, because Paul wrote about it, and he commended Timothy and Lois and Eunice. He commended them because of their faith. Someone has said, times may change and fashions may alter, but mothers are never out of date. How true. Mothers are never out of date. It has been observed that no one in all the world adapts herself to the day in which we live like a mother with her children. Here's another worthwhile statement. A space-age mother needs to keep her feet on the ground and her heart in the heavens. A man in the moon will never replace the man in the home with a dedicated mother, working with him to raise a Christian family. It takes the mother and the father. Mothers in the past have had immense influence on their children. I'm going to give you three examples. Three examples, and they were written about. John Newton. John Newton was a slave trader. And then he came to Christ as Savior. And he became the writer of that hymn that we sing so often, Amazing Grace. And he wrote this about his mother. He said that he could never forget his mother, at whose knees he had learned to pray, even though she died when he was only 8 years of age. He learned what he learned by the time he was eight. And then there was John and Charles Wesley. They were the founders of what we now call Methodism, the Methodist Church. They never forgot the influence of their mother, Susanna. She prayed in the kitchen with her apron over her head to get a little privacy. She had 19 children. 9 of them died in infancy. 1 died a little bit older. All of these children, they saw their mother praying in the kitchen, apron over her head, so that they knew they were to be quiet during that time, and she was praying. And then Franklin Graham, speaking of his dad, Billy Graham, and his mother, he has given superb tribute to his mother, Ruth Graham Bell, who was the glue that held the family together when Billy Graham traveled the world over to share the gospel. Think of the calling on Billy Graham's life to go throughout the world preaching the gospel, leaving his wife and children at home in many cases. And Ruth Graham Bell, Ruth Bell Graham, she was the one who held the family together, who prayed with them, who prayed for their father and her husband when he was on a crusade. Sometimes she went, and sometimes they went with him. But think of the prayer support that he had. Here was a wife who could have been jealous of her husband going everywhere without her, and yet she was the glue that held the family together. Perhaps there will be a day when your children will rise up in the words of Scripture and call you blessed. May you, as mothers and grandmothers today, your faith and your experience, may it be convictional, communicable, and commendable. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this day for my mother, for the mother of our children, for grandmothers everywhere Mothers and grandmothers, I praise you for them, their Christian witness. And I pray that you will empower every single Christian mother in this building today, mothers to be or mothers who are. Grandmothers, we pray, O Lord, that you will anoint them with your Holy Spirit in such a way that they will have an immense Christian influence on their children and on their grandchildren and on their great-grandchildren, so that we have household after household of people who put their faith and their trust in Jesus as Savior and as Lord. All of this we ask in our Savior's precious name. Amen.